Is there anything certain in life? We live in a world filled with doubt, fear, and uncertainty about the future. Yet, the Apostle John gives us something we can be sure of. He teaches that we can know where we stand with God, know the truth about Jesus, and know that eternal life is ours. Do you have that kind of certainty? Today, you'll discover how the Word of God offers real assurance. Certainty that changes everything. Keep listening.
Several years ago, a university professor wrote about what he perceived to be an obvious loss in the world, and that was a decreasing level of happiness. And along with this loss, he said, was this increase in uncertainty. Now, he didn't believe it was the result of financial insecurity or increasing crime rates or personal debt. He rather insightfully connected decreasing happiness to this increasing level of what he called uncertainty. And I believe that he was pretty close to the truth. People today are more and more uncertain about their future and their hope for a better world. Ironically, though, and frankly, sadly, at the same time, our world is feeling the devastating effects of uncertainty. Many churches, Christian organizations, church leaders today are diluting the certainty of the gospel so they won't offend anybody. Well, let me tell you, beloved, certainty happens to be the heartbeat of the Apostle John here in his first letter. Now today, as we set sail again, we're in chapter 5, and John just sort of focuses the inspired lens of Scripture on this very subject. And he gives us three areas in which we can have absolute certainty. First, we can have certainty about our standing with God. John starts out with an unapologetically absolute statement here in verse 1. He writes, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God." Now, you need to remember that when John uses the word believe, he's talking about trusting in Jesus as the Messiah. To believe is more than mumbling through a church creed or reciting a prayer on a Sunday half awake. John writes that when you genuinely trust Christ with your life, when you claim him as your Messiah, your Lord and Savior, you are born again of God. You're a new creature. You have been born again to spiritual life into the family of God. And something else happens to you. You not only love the Lord, but you also love those who belong in your new family. Again, he says in verse 1, "And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him." You know, maybe you've discovered by now that no matter where you go in the world, you have this immediate kinship with other believers you happen to meet. And that's because they are kindred. They are brothers and sisters in the family of God. Now, here's the evidence of genuine love for God. Verse 3, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. In other words, God's directives are not designed to discourage us or, you know, slow us down. They're designed to free us up. They direct us to a kind of lifestyle, goals in life that free us from regrets and guilt and sin. John goes on to say here in verse 4, "Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." Now, that doesn't mean it's going to look like it at all times, but God's people are on the winning side. Before passing away at age 92, my missionary father would call me every Sunday morning to pray for me before I left the house to preach, and he would often say, "You know, I'm so glad we're on the winning team." Well, that victory will be fully evident when Jesus returns to set up his kingdom on earth. And here's the good news. We who belong to his family, well, we get to share in his victory. And listen, you can be absolutely certain of that coming day. Secondly, we're not only to have certainty about our standing with God, but we also have certainty that Jesus is the Son of God. In verse 6, John affirms that Jesus is the one who came by water, he writes, and blood. Now, John carefully emphasizes it wasn't only by the water, but also by the blood. Before we get too confused about this expression, let's follow his train of thought to the end. Let me read here in verse 6. He mentions the Holy Spirit as the one who testifies. Then in verses 7 and 8, John writes, "For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree." So John is talking about three witnesses. One is the Holy Spirit who testifies to Jesus' identity and his mission. Well, that's easy enough to understand. What about the water and the blood? Well, the Gospels give us two signature events in Jesus' earthly life that are uniquely related to water and blood. Well, first is Jesus' baptism. His immersion in water was a sign of agreement with John the Baptist, the last Old Testament prophet, so to speak. You can read about it in John chapter 1. Jesus' baptism was then followed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who descended from heaven upon Jesus like a dove. Didn't mean he was a dove, looked sort of like a dove. So we have this testimony of water and Spirit. Well, what about blood? Well, there was nothing more blood stained than that old rugged cross where he shed his blood for our redemption. So John is effectively giving us the bookends to Christ's earthly ministry. It began with water immersion, and it ended with a blood-stained cross at his crucifixion. Well, it's all going to be ratified by his resurrection and ascension. So the water and the Spirit and the blood are unique witnesses in the courtroom of human history, testifying to the truth that Jesus Christ is the God-man. Because he's fully human, he could shed his blood and die. Because he's fully God, he could pay for the sins of the whole world at one time through his death, and then conquer death through resurrection. Well, how's that for certainty? John writes here in verse 9, "This is the testimony of God that he is born concerning his son." Verse 10 adds, "Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony, that is, which God provided." Well, there's a third area where we can have assurance and certainty, and that's our certainty about our coming life with God. John writes here in verses 11 and 12, "And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." Well, the testimony that John is referring to here is God's inspired word. Do you think for a moment, beloved, that God's word is uncertain about these issues? Oh, no. The Bible testifies that God's grace gives eternal life. In fact, John emphasizes here that without Jesus, well, you can't have eternal life. That's how certain he is. Then in verse 13, John writes this, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Not think so, hope so, maybe so, but know so. This isn't proud or presumptuous to say that you know that you have eternal life. You're simply believing the truth that God has revealed, and God is not uncertain. Years ago, when our children were small, a couple in our church came up to us after a Sunday service and said they'd like to keep our children one day each week so Marcia and I could go out on a date. And they asked, "Can we keep your four children every Thursday night?" I said, "You can keep them all week." Well, they turned out to be such a help to us over the years, helping us literally raise our children. Years later, many years later, I stood in the hospital room where this gentleman was nearing the end of his life. He was slipping in and out of consciousness, and I leaned down and said to him, not thinking he could even hear me, I said, "Dennis, it looks like you might make it to heaven before me, and I've just come by to reassure you that because you've believed in Jesus Christ, God's word says you can know that you have eternal life. The Lord is ready and waiting to welcome you home." And to my surprise, his mouth opened and he whispered, "I know." Not, "I hope so," or, "Pastor, I think so." "Dennis, you're going to heaven, And he said, I know. Well, John ends his letter here with a strong statement about our certainty in Jesus. He writes in verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now get this, referring to Jesus, John writes, he is the true God and eternal life. Wow. How's that for certainty? If you're not trusting God the Son for your eternal assurance and certainty, let me ask you, what are you waiting for? Trust him as your Savior today. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called Certainty and Assurance. The world is filled with doubt, but you don't have to be. In Christ, we have certainty. Certainty about our salvation, the truth of Jesus, and our eternal home with God. What more could you ask for? If you'd like to learn more and explore the rest of our resources, I encourage you to visit our website at wisdomonline.org. There, you can access Stephen's entire Bible teaching library, which includes every broadcast and hundreds of sermons from over four decades of teaching. One of the key features of our site is the daily broadcast. We post each day's lesson right on the homepage. So if you ever miss a broadcast, you can easily catch up. And if you'd like to revisit previous lessons, you can navigate back through the archives to find any broadcast you've missed. This allows you to stay connected with our daily Bible teaching ministry, no matter where you tune in. In addition to the daily broadcasts, Stephen's complete sermon library is available on the site. He's preached through hundreds of passages, and all of his sermons are organized by Book of the Bible. If there's a specific book you want to study, you can browse through Stephen's teaching, listen to the sermon, or read the manuscript, all free of charge. Visit wisdomonline.org today, then join us next time to continue this wisdom journey.